love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Yo, Nicole.
Yo, Rolando.
What is probably the single most important television show of all time that every show has tried to emulate but just couldn't get their shit together, and it will just, you know, just forever be in our hearts as like the greatest TV show of all time?
Easy. The Twilight Zone.
Okay. What sitcom?
Easy. I Love Lucy.
No, wrong. So wrong.
What?
I Love Lucy is good, but I Love Lucy is no Friends. And I am sorry. I'm just going to go out and say, yes, I'm a Friends stan. I built this whole podcast on the hopes that Hollywood listens and gives us.
He has been saying this for years. Yes, yes.
Gives us a Friends special. I was hoping for a straight up revival. You know what? I'll take what I can get, because we're going to discuss the Friends reunion that just dropped today when we're recording. You guys are getting this the next day. And I can't wait. I can't wait to talk about it, because you know what? Those friends were my friends as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
I was way too young to be watching that show. And my God, did it influence how I thought my adulthood should be.
I remember us discussing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's just get right into it. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality.
So everyone, yes. In case you're wondering why are we releasing this episode on a Friday instead of a Thursday, that is because Hollywood or HBO Max decided to drop the Friends reunion on Thursday for some reason.
Yeah.
I guess to kick off the Memorial Day weekend for people who want to party. I'm hoping that's why, like people getting together to watch
it. I guess some people are taking a 4-day.
I took a 4-day weekend, you know.
Fuck yeah, yeah.
You know, the only thing is I worked out hard today, so I didn't drink, but I would have loved to have been drinking on some cocktails while watching the Friends reunion.
Yeah, or at least a glass of wine or something.
Mm-hmm. Despite the fact, technically coffee would have been the right one, but...
Oh, true, yeah, because they're addicted to caffeine.
Exactly, yeah. But that's why. So we are giving... But this is probably the freshest episode you guys are receiving. This is like literally one day later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, we have never been as on top of this.
Yeah.
Oh, we actually both just finished it and was like, are you done?
Yep.
All right, let's do it.
Let's record.
Yeah. So did you watch Friends like growing up? Like, did you watch it when it aired?
Okay, if you've been a listener of this podcast for...
No, when it aired originally.
Yes,
did you watch it then?
Hello. Yeah. Excuse me. I can actually tell you the very first episode I saw while it was on primetime still. Not syndicated.
Which one?
It was the episode where Phoebe finds out that Monica and Rachel are Monica and Chandler are doing it.
Oh wow. Yeah. It must have been confusing, but what a first episode.
I think in syndication at that point I had already seen the wedding episode.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, but I was a few episodes missing in between, which is like who knew. So I was only confused as to like who knew, who didn't know, but I already knew that like Monica and Chandler were a thing.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of remember that, too, actually. I had like a lot of half siblings that were much older than me and stuff. And then my parents and whatnot, and they watched it. And I definitely remember the Monica and Chandler thing. I think I even remember a little bit of like everybody being obsessed with Ross and Rachel and whatnot.
Yeah, obviously.
People being devastated over Rachel and Joey. Just not a fan of that.
You know, it was a bad choice. Yeah,
it was a bad choice.
I have feelings on it, but.
Yeah. What about you, Eddie? Did you watch it when it aired?
I did watch it when it was on primetime. And it's syndication for a long time, actually.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about this show, right? This show is still, I think since its inception, right? I think since season 2 or 3, maybe, this show has been in syndication and it hasn't, I don't think it's gotten
off the
air since. If you put on TBS, most likely you'll be getting a Friends rerun.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Or even Nick at Night. I think they still play it a lot on Nick at Night.
They do. Now they, yeah, Nick at Night. Yeah. So different from the Nick at Night I had growing up. But it's funny because I realized recently that the only channel that was on when I grew up was NBC. My mom was like a devoted NBC person.
NBC so was the shit.
Yeah, NBC. Like she watched Frasier and Will and Grace and all that stuff. So if it wasn't on NBC, I have like no memory of it growing up.
Interesting. Because
we didn't watch any other channel. So yeah.
No, NBC that's was why great. That's, I know Friends, that's actually part of the reason why I love 30 Rock, right? Because they're so disparaging towards NBC. Because when 30 Rock came out, NBC's like shine and luster had already kind of worn off. Right? Mm-hmm. And literally the entire plot line of the series is part of it, like kind of how does Jack Donaghy make money off of NBC somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, that Friends was during Must See TV
Thursday.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go. Had a big like famous lineup. What was it? Friends, Frasier, Will and Grace?
Friends, Will and Grace was definitely in that lineup. Frasier was Tuesdays. Frasier was never in the Must See Thursdays.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I want to say Mad About You.
Let's look it up.
Was part of the Must See TV. Yeah. Must See TV.
It was all part of that Ursula Phoebe universe.
That's true, yes. There's an NBC universe out there.
I'm looking it up really quick. Yeah, so yeah, Mad About You was part of like the early 90s. I think Seinfeld actually for a little bit. Frasier did play it sometime.
Oh, really?
During Thursdays.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I remember Frasier when it was like a Tuesday night TV show.
And then Just Shoot Me. And Scrubs at some point was on that. So yeah, these are some of the shows
that
were
Scrubs
on.
Was NBC?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Scrubs was ABC.
No, Scrubs was NBC, which is why I am it later was on ABC, but it started on NBC.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I've never seen Scrubs.
Yeah. Well, let's assume that some of their audience members have never seen Friends.
Shame
Rolando,
on you.
As someone who loves this show, just give us a summary of what Friends is.
I can give you a summary of what Friends is not. Friends is not drama. Friends is not complicated. Friends is what it sounds like. A group of 20, they start off as late 20 something year olds. They're in this stage of their life before they start their families and just kind of figuring out what they want to do in life. And it's set in fabulous New York City. They have all fabulous apartments and
in the 90s.
Yeah. And they live in and they drink coffee all the time and they're constantly, you know.
They don't really drink like that. They drink a lot of coffee, but they don't like.
They don't drink.
Alcohol.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of drinking. Like they don't like go out. We rarely get to see them like enjoy alcohol, but yeah. They do occasionally. But for the most part, they're always just sitting around drinking coffee and stuff. And it's just I don't know. It's just like this part of your life where like they really glamorize like this kind of like this late 20 something year olds. Like kind of just like what are we doing, you know? And I loved it for it. There you go.
There's six of them.
Yes, there's
three
six
boys,
of them.
Three girls.
Three boys, three girls. All right, so I can give you a rundown of who's who. We got, let's start off with Ross. He's a paleontologist, not an archaeologist. He's a paleontologist. He is coming off of a divorce. His wife discovered that she's a lesbian. And, you know, this is kind of the trauma that he's living with, right? Trying to find the one.
Yeah.
Next is his sister Monica. She's a little bit of anal, right? She loves like things clean. She loves to be the hostess. She's a chef.
She's a Capricorn. Yeah,
she might be. I guess probably. living across the hall from Monica is her future husband Chandler Bing. He's
Ross's old college roommate.
He's very sarcastic, kind of the one who kind of lands all the zingers in the show.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you for the life of me what he does for a living, like some data processing thing.
Transposter.
Right. That's a joke from the show. Chandler's roommate is Joey Tribbiani. Joey Tribbiani is an aspiring actor. I think his most famous role outside of Dr. Drake Ramore was when he was the poster boy for VD.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Which was like that's like early season. That's like the first season. No, Dr. Drake Ramore is like his show. He lands a role on Days of Our Lives where he is a brain surgeon, and it's like an on again, off again job for him. He's also like the heartthrob and like the hunk, so he's kind of like he's a fuckboy before the word fuckboy came out, but he is definitely true. A fuckboy. And then out of those four, the core group of friends, the last one was Phoebe. Right, I know I haven't said Rachel yet, but there's a reason, right? Because Phoebe is the fifth of this core group of friends. She is like the weird one.
Monica's former roommate, the artistic one.
Yes, she plays guitar at the coffee shop. How does she know everyone? It's, you know, not really. She just like just knows them now, and she's kind of like a current friend. But she ends up becoming
just like Joey,
similar to Joey. But Joey lives with Chandler, right? So that was a joke in the show, like, was just like, what connection do you have, Phoebe, to the friends group? And she, you know, and then the last friend, the newest friend, is Rachel. Despite the fact that she did grow up with Monica, she's the newest friend because she was living out in Greenwich,
Connecticut.
I think it was in Connecticut. I think that's where she was living at the moment, where she was engaged to Barry. And she ran off from the marriage, and she realized, you know, she wasn't in love with Barry, and she decides to start a new life in New York City and ends up living with Monica. And, you know, from there, she will begin an on again, off again relationship with Ross, which is probably the heart of the show, or would become the heart of the show.
In the beginning, yeah.
In the beginning, yeah. I would tell you in the beginning, because I think later on, the heart of the show becomes Chandler and Monica.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is...
Yeah, there you go. That's about it.
There's also Gunther. He's there all 10 seasons. There's
many, many side characters. Janice is a very popular one, too.
I think Janice makes an appearance once a season, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The show came out in 1994. It lasted for 10 seasons, ended in 2004. The creators of it, Marta Kaufman and Brian Crane, or David Crane. I should have it up.
I feel like I should know this because we just saw it and we saw how they got their logo. Turns out it was their names, guys, like the productions.
Yeah, David Crane and Marta Kaufman. And they wanted to do a show that was ensemble based. So it wasn't, you know, like a star like Roseanne or The Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more so focused not just on the one person with all these other characters. It was focused on all six of them.
Correct.
Not one of them was a star and all that stuff. And so that dynamic was really important to the show.
And yeah, apparently they went out of their way looking for a cast of nobodies.
Yeah. Which the most famous one being Courtney Cox. And this was before Scream.
Mm-hmm,
this was when she was famous for being in a Bruce Springsteen music video.
That's not true. Eddie, it turns out, was a fan of Courtney Cox, and he actually started watching the show because of Courtney Cox. Because
of Family Ties?
Oh, yeah. I saw her in Family Ties, and she was in the sci-fi show called Misfits of Science.
Wow.
And she got that job actually because of the situation where she was called on stage by Bruce Springsteen.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how her whole career is based on that one moment where she got on stage with Bruce Springsteen.
Just so you know, like, yeah, that is all because of that. I'm just going to go to a new thought, which is that if you grew up in this country, probably anywhere, but specifically, you know, you grew up in America, you watched TV, you saw Friends. Mm-hmm. Or at least you knew about Friends. You know, the fame of Friends was pretty ubiquitous. It was everywhere. Everybody knew about it. Everyone knew the characters. You didn't even have to watch it, but you knew everything that was going on. I remember being in school knowing the song Smelly Cat. You know, like, it caught on. It was probably one of the most famous TV shows ever.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Like, I mean, my family.
Other than The Office, I don't think there's anything as popular as Friends.
There's no way The Office has the same, like, appeal as Friends because...
Oh, it doesn't. But they're both really famous and have like cult followings.
Yeah, because I know for a fact that my cousins in Peru were obsessed with Friends when it came to Peru, right? And yeah, my mom was telling me, it's just like, oh my God, you and your cousins would get along because they love Friends too. No, they watch Friends as she explained.
That's pretty crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you're watching the reunion, it turns out like how global the show was. And I think there is just this relatability of like a group of friends, you know, kind of before you settle down and stuff.
Yeah. Which is crazy because the cast is all white and they're all heterosexuals.
And they're all, yes.
And so, you know, now when we go back and we watch it, you know, we realize that there is kind of like, as a young gay person who's not like fully white, you know, like there are things that I find hard to relate to, but the show does a really just good thing at where it focuses more so just on like true friendship and love.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter with like the sexuality aspect of it. Although it would have been nice, but whatever. We're not going to kick a show about, you know, just simple things like that.
Yeah.
Simple things, but I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I mean, it never bothered me because I just love, I love this show. You know what I mean? And so I'm going to be straight up with everyone right here. Like this is like, it's going to be hard for me to remove myself from like it's hard for me to be objective here. Like it is like, it usually I can like turn that on and off. I feel like better than the average person, but I don't know. There's just something, Friends just has like this like place in my heart that I don't know. I can't explain why. The whiteness never occurred to me until it was pointed out. And that could be though, because a lot of the shows I was still watching at the time outside of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air were white.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, like when you're a kid, you don't necessarily consciously think about those things, you know, like the effects of the subconscious are, you know, always there. But it's interesting because my favorite character is Phoebe. And I've realized when I've grown older, other than the fact that I think they give her the best jokes, like, you know, you think she's going to say one thing and she says another. And that's kind of like her humor. Whereas like Chandler's just sarcastic.
Right.
Whatever.
Actually, I know my favorite Phoebe joke. It's when Rachel's holding the hairless cat, right? With like her oven mitts. And then Phoebe sees it. She's like, ah, oh, I'm so sorry. Your mitts, they scared me.
Exactly.
It's just so random. And it's so funny.
It's those kind of jokes that I'm a big fan of. You know, I like being surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But I also realize that Phoebe's my favorite character is because she's the only one that's different, right?
Yeah.
You know, spoiler to the new one, a very famous person thanks Phoebe for being the one who was kind of like the outcast of the friend group or whatever.
The
weird one, the different one, the one who was like lived in her truth, essentially. And that's like the most variation we get from the show. I've never been a diehard Friends fan. I've always watched it growing up.
I don't want to talk to you right now.
You want me to leave?
Yeah,
you want me to
bring leave? Your sister.
My sister is a huge, side note for the audience, my sister is a huge, huge Friends fan. Once we all got together and played Friends trivia and we came in second because of like people like Rolando. I just kind of sat there. But yeah, so what was I saying? Oh yeah. Because when I got older and I went to school and stuff, you know, and you're like taught to like kind of like reexamine the things that you grew up with. And then now it's also like, that's something that everyone's doing, right? It's not just something you do in school. It's like part of our society now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but see those things. Yeah. So because of my lack of devotion to Friends, you know, it's easier for me to complain about certain things, like the fact that I don't think that the portrayal of masculinity is all that great in Friends, and especially, or like fragile masculinity. None of those male characters are ever really called out for it, especially in Chandler and his insecurities about the fact that his father is a trans woman.
Is his father trans, or was she trans, or was he a drag queen? I actually don't.
I think
it's still
the fact that Kathleen Turner plays his father.
That's right. It was Kathleen
means
Turner.
Means that this was once a man who is now a woman.
Okay, so
and
yeah,
because
trans.
She has a deep voice and all that stuff. Yeah, so she is a trans woman, but you know, this was also like an early 90s representation of an LGBTQ like figure. So, you know, of course, it's kind of like a Tu Wong Fu thing where it's like, what exactly are you?
Mm-hmm.
and like even like simple things like, you know, like Joey gets a roommate who likes to decorate the apartment, and then Joey himself likes it, and he like likes to sniff the flowers or something, and they question like his masculinity. You know, it's like it's easy. Like, unfortunately, watching it now, it is something that you're like, you should at least have a discussion about if you're going to show people, because it shouldn't just be taken at face value, right? Certain things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting. I guess I never thought much of like the fragile masculinity here, because like, I mean, Chandler was always kind of like, there was always a common joke also too, that like Chandler was like the gay one, and like they kind of all, I think even at a certain point, like even Monica had was just like, are you a gay guy, you know? And Chandler kind of always, well, he never liked that. I think it's part of, you know, his own experiences with his father, right? Because mm-hmm. like, you know, they don't paint a very positive photo of like his upbringing, right? He has like kind of a very, very hypersexualized mother, and then a hypersexualized father who was, you know, going off with all these men and stuff. But Chandler, I don't know, like he, yeah, he, you know, no one ever wanted to play gay, I guess, but like they never toyed around. They never, I don't know, they were never, outside of the way maybe Chandler or the portrayal of Chandler's dad, there was never any outright hostility towards gay or gay in general, right? I don't think so. In fact, quite the opposite. I think they kind of played into it sometimes, right? There was an episode where like Joey and Ross like literally sleep together and are napping and are like, you know, happy with it and doing it in shame and stuff, right? Very, very low key. It's you know, it's low key down low culture that we were watching.
Yeah. I think that's also in that situation that's kind of looking for it, in the sense where it's like, oh, they're totally cool with being gay. They like napped on each other time.
I mean, they're not, because once they get caught, like they immediately end it, right?
Yeah, and they're not gay. But well, actually, you know, it's so funny because you're like, there's no open hostility, but, and of course it's more integral to the plot. There's more in the relationship, but actually in the first two seasons, there's so much hostility from Ross to Carol and her lesbian lover.
Oh, now, that's of course, true. You're right.
Yeah.
All right.
That makes sense, of course, because yeah, he's jealous and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's like always like, she's a lesbian, she left me for a woman. And it's like, that is like so, like almost like it's damaging his male ego, you know? Yeah. And some of the other characters use that against him.
Yes, they do. Well, I mean, there's so much to use against poor Ross in the early seasons. There's so much ammunition against it. But yeah, you're right. Okay, I hadn't. Yes, you're right. When it came to lesbian portrayals, not very, very, very positive, you know. And then there was like the one episode where they had that lesbian kiss between Phoebe and Rachel. That kind of was just like,
oh yeah, Winona Ryder. Winona Ryder.
Yes, yeah. She turns out to be like madly in love with Rachel.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because I feel like in the beginning of the show, right, they were actually more interested in doing like, you know, more social things, like have gay characters and whatnot. And then as the show went on, it just became kind of more interested in slapstick and the characters themselves and their kind of like shticks and harping on that. Like Chandler and Monica progressed. Joey became more and more of like the, how you doing?
Yeah.
Like sent, almost like he became a breakout and all that.
Oh, no, the characters all regressed as the show gained popularity, and as the show got bigger, the characters like all regressed to kind of one note characters.
Yeah, absolutely. They became more focused on guest stars, mm-hmm. not as much as Will and Grace did, but it was like less, it became less about the story and more about, and more about, yeah, just kind of like, you know, hitting it home with these one, like these just like, the things that you like about the characters, doing it over and over and over again, beating a dead horse. You know, the one show that did that excessively that I actually can't watch later seasons of is The Golden Girls.
Oh, really?
That's a show where like, yeah, like those characters just pretty much become caricatures of like the things that people found funny about them. You know, Blanche is a slut, Rose is dumb, Dorothy's a sarcastic loser, and Sophia's just straight up fucking mean in the end. Yeah. So
it's interesting, right? I don't disagree that the characters on Friends become caricatures towards the end of the series, but mm-hmm. I still enjoyed watching it to the very end. I kind of disagree with like, oh, you know, in terms of like the stories never went anywhere. Actually, quite the opposite. I think by the end, yeah, they were the characters themselves are caricatures of themselves, sure. But like the relationships that we were seeing unfold were still, I think, my favorite part about watching it. Like watching Phoebe and Mike end up together, right? Like that was so touching. I actually also, for example, like I am one of the few people, and this is a very unpopular opinion, who I was okay with Rachel and Joey trying it out. And the reason I was okay with it, because I think inevitably in all friends group, there are two friends who decide, it's just like, should we? And then come to regret
really?
It.
Has I that happened so. To you?
I've been in like, I've been in friends groups where it's just like, you know, we were all friends and stuff. And then like, hang on.
Eddie, can we take that away from him? He never plays with his speakers.
That's their doggy. That's making a guest appearance.
Yes, he wants to, he agrees with me. He's like making all the noise. No, so like, I think that happens. I you try things out. It happened, like, for example, and then you'll see it again in like another reiteration of Friends when you see How I Met Your Mother, right? When they all, it was like a very incestuous group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, hang on. I unplugged the microphone. The headphones. Okay. All right, we're good now.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Like, that's an accurate portrayal. But we got that with Chandler and Monica. We got that in Ross and Rachel. It's just like weird. Now they're all just kind of like, you know, tagging each other. Tag now. Now we're going to fuck. Like, it's just like this weird thing.
I mean, you know, when you put hot people in an apartment together, like, things about to happen. We just saw The Circle. This is just happening just through instant messages. You know what I mean? Like, it's inevitable. People want to fuck.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much, yeah.
And that's what we saw in Friends. That's why I actually never hated Joey and Rachel together. I wasn't a fan, like I wasn't rooting for them to make it at the end, but I was, you know, understanding at least on some level where their feelings for each other were coming from. And there was another character arc. Oh, and then also just like I mean Chandler and Monica, like even by the end of it, like just seeing their relationship unfold and dealing with infertility and stuff, like the show, like the characters themselves might have regressed, but like the heart of the show, like seeing these people going through life, was still there, I think, to the very end.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, did every plot point work? You know, some worked, some didn't.
Yeah,
for sure. I thought one of the stronger ones actually was when Richard came back, and like presented Monica with the choice, and like everyone who watched the show was like, oh my god, that's Richard.
It is,
you know?
Right,
like that's Monica's greatest love. Mm-hmm. Other than, but like enough for, you know, her to leave Chandler. And I think in reality she might have of Chandler for him, because I mean, come on, Richard.
Yeah, Richard was the hunkier one. Richard was the more masculine one. Richard was also,
but she was like head over heels for him too.
He had way more money.
That too, like he's a better choice, and he'll be dead soon. So,
and he'll be
actually
dead
no,
soon.
17 years later, no, he's still alive
and still working.
And still working. So, Tom Selleck, Tom Selleck looked like, that's what my dad looked like.
Oh, really? Up, like so. Tom Selleck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Your mom was.
So every time I look at Tom Selleck, I'm like, it looks like my dad.
Aww.
Side note. So who were your favorite characters, right? Mine's Phoebe. Who's yours?
All right. Mine always changed, I guess, as depending on where I was in life. Like early when I was watching it early on, I think my favorite one was Joey, because I wanted to be like Joey, right? Like sexy, cool, funny. I think during college, I guess back then I probably wanted to be a ladies man and not like a man, like a guy's man. But even then, I always thought he was so handsome. And then I think in my college years, I kind of related more so with like Chandler's humor. Right. And he's the one I kind of connected with. And then at this stage in my life, the one I actually kind of resonate, the character that resonates the most with me are Ross and Monica.
Yeah.
Those are the two characters that like resonate the most with me, because I am like the planner. I am the one who is, I try to, you know, the dishes, Eddie can attest to this, like where it will drive me crazy if there's a mess in the kitchen. I relate to Monica. And then Ross, though, I kind of end up relating to a lot of like his rage that we get a lot of him during the later parts of the season, right? Where watching it, I'm just like, but he's justified. Like the turkey sandwich incident, like he was absolutely justified in that. Like, why is he on sabbatical? The other guy should be fired for eating his sandwich and not even eating it, eating half of it and throwing it out.
True.
Rude.
Well, also, I feel like, yeah, I would be enraged too. I feel like Ross is sometimes put into those situations too that like other characters want to put into, where it's like he got married and divorced twice. You know, like he made big life changes and like big relationship changes like that, that really just ended up being like kind of crushing.
Twice divorced, once annulled.
And well, he got married and divorced twice. Like,
and then he
annulled. Did I say it wrong?
No, because he got annulled also then with Rachel.
Well, not counting her, but.
Yeah, he got married three times.
Three times.
On screen. Yeah,
but more so like most of the time in sitcoms and whatnot, you know, people. They date and then the next episode a person's gone.
Right.
You know, like, so it was interesting to actually see a real representation of like the heartbreak after something like wanting to move to England to be with someone and then having to come back and having that, or like having to choose to give up your friend for someone, you know, like situations like that, that are like actually real.
They are real. I think we know couples who maybe have had to make those tough choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where yeah. it's like friends or your lover and stuff. And thank God I was never in that position. Right, Eddie?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so.
Eddie, who's your favorite?
I'm a big fan of Phoebe because I was always attracted to that character. I mean, I had a good friend very similar to that character. And it's always that kind of person that... that you can tell, like, oh my God, my life is like coming to an end. And they'd be like, chill, just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it.
I love Phoebe the best. And I actually think out of the actors, the person that I respond to the most is Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I think Lisa Kudrow is without a doubt. No, they're all so good. I was going to say, but she does. There is like she does have such a shining brightness to her.
Yeah.
But
she seems like a cool person.
But I mean, fucking Rachel and Jennifer Aniston as Rachel. Like, I cannot imagine anybody else, which is why
I would say Rachel's my second favorite.
Like seeing like, I mean, just that's why it's sometimes so hard to see Jennifer Aniston in other roles. For me, but because she is forever Rachel. But yeah, I am enjoying seeing the shit out of her on the morning show on Apple TV.
Oh yeah, yeah, so, yeah. I still haven't watched that. So
at least she has range, I guess.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think Jennifer Aniston is just good at kind of being herself. Maybe she's one of those people. She's a star.
I hope not, because that means that she's a cold, calculated, reactive lady
is this what you're talking about, Rachel, or the morning show?
I'm talking about the morning show.
Sounds like she's doing something different for a change, which is good for her.
Yes.
So should we just talk about the reunion? We've talked enough about the original.
Yeah, let's talk about the reunion. What are your
Rolando? Well, so here's the thing, right? Remakes, reboots, revivals. This is none of those technically.
This is a reunion. And fourth,
maybe a revival.
They're capitalizing off of fucking Friends. Like HBO, not HBO, Warner Brothers put so much money into this reunion.
Seriously. Well, because Friends is like huge.
I mean, they put so much money into just making sure they have the rights for HBO Max to have Friends exclusively. And then they threw a shit ton of money at the cast. It's just like, you guys are going to come back for one episode. Oh, also, so you know when they were all jumping up on social media? It's just like, guys, I got Instagram. It was all part of the deal. That was part of the networking, the deal for the season. So they could like hype it up.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Because if you follow Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals, I was on a work trip when... I think when Courtney Cox got onto Instagram, or maybe it was Jennifer Aniston, one of those two, they took a picture together, and I posted it on the thing. I'm like, guys, it's happening. Like, sound the alarms. Like, we're getting the Friends revival. And then we got this.
I knew it. Yeah, I think as soon as we started this has been a topic for us. So this is a different episode. This is a special episode. This is the one where Nicole and Rolando talk about the Friends reunion because they can. So, and that should be
our show.
Episode. It's our show. So we hope you like it. So the Friends reunion. What it is pretty much, it's kind of like a documentary style talk show thing. It's a hybrid.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's so much happening here.
Not gonna watch it, you know. This is pretty much like us telling you, like it's these characters. They all meet up on a set that's duplicated, just like the Friends set,
mm-hmm.
you know, to reminisce. They actors, talk about
the characters, the actors, all
the
get
actors.
Together.
Yeah, the people who played the characters.
Yes,
they go on the set. They reminisce. You know, they share stories. They divulge about things while simultaneously all this other stuff is happening. It's not. It's a very nonlinear thing, which I think is actually something that kind of works about it. Mm-hmm. It plays kind of like a film, and it jumps back and forth, and all this stuff. There's a lot of stuff that works. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. For instance, there's a lot of times where all of these celebrities will just come up out of nowhere and talk about their favorite episodes. As kind of like segment wise, it's a way for us to like focus on some of the most famous episodes of all time.
Yes.
And then they segue from that to the characters, to the actors talking about it.
Right.
Yet it's still like, why the fuck is David Beckham here?
Yeah, why the hell David is Mindy Kaling here? David Beckham, the only one who I thought was justified in being there was Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon, because yeah, she guest starred on it. Yeah.
She guest starred on it. She's an Oscar-winning actress.
So Mindy
Kaling, I could also like get with because she's a writer, TV writer, and producer. So like, you know, her, if Friends had an influence on her, like...
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I did not enjoy that segment at all. Or anytime any of those segments came up, I didn't like it. I thought it was... really unnecessary, and they could have done it differently. And here's something, right? Because I just like, I know I hate it when celebrities are just thrown in just because they're celebrities. You know, it's like for me, I'm not one of those people that works for. It's almost like a thing that it does the opposite. Like I want to turn it off,
right?
When you do that, when you just use celebrities to get me in. There was this whole segment, right, about people from all over the world that talked about how Friends changed their lives.
Yeah,
and. It was just one segment. It wasn't something that wasn't a recurring segment. Right. And it was actually like really emotional. And you saw how like Friends, like just how ubiquitous it is all over the world.
Uh-huh. That was actually easily my favorite part.
That was my favorite part.
I think it was so heartwarming. It was so, well, I'm going to come out and say, I actually very much enjoyed this reunion altogether, like through and through. Mm-hmm. Obviously nostalgia plays a huge role in it, but it was such a sweet reunion.
It was sweet, but like they could have.
Yeah, that fan, watching those fans, like that probably
that
was just
part was
like,
great. Why couldn't they have been the ones that talked about the episodes?
Yeah, I agree with you, but you know.
Why the hell was David Beckham there? I'm just like so pissed off.
I was more pissed off about Kit Harington because Kit Harington is like, what the fuck do I need you fucking
Jon
Snow?
Yeah, like so random. So like seriously, were they just like on the lot one day and you just like grabbed them and brought them in? And it could have, but that's the thing, like who is this special for, right? It's for the fans. So let the fans be more a part of it. Like you just give them this one section.
Yeah, I actually like, would have been okay if they called back like all the celebrities that they've had on the show before. Like give me Alec Baldwin, get me Sean Penn, get me more Reese Witherspoon like moments who can talk about the show and what was it like for them. Get me Brad Pitt to dish a little bit. I'm actually surprised that they uttered the words Brad Pitt, to be honest, in the
yeah
movie.
Right yeah she just said Pitt and then they cut away instantly.
Yeah it's
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would have, that would have made a little bit more sense and maybe I wouldn't be like, you know, complaining about it right now, but I would have liked to have seen more fan inclusion. And I think that was something that was kind of missing because at the end of the days too, like that's who this is for, you know, that's why Friends is a thing and has a reunion called for, you know, it's not just about the actors and their experience and like the history, like Friends is not just theirs, it's ours.
Yeah.
And it didn't really, I didn't feel as much as ours, as much as like, theirs or
but
just
if
like
these celebrities
fucking...
but if these celebrities are fans, like what's, I mean, you know,
oh please,
I don't know, I mean what about
I,
you,
I mean
are you
I don't
disparaging
know how genuine I feel.
All right, hang on, Malala,
but she wasn't part of that she wasn't part of the
yeah,
celebrity
was.
Segment
she was she had the
she
same...
immediately followed the fan segment.
No but like her setup was still the same as like the celebrity one, right? The gray background. Yeah.
Oh, I suppose set wise it was, yeah, but like the way that she was edited, it was slightly different, right?
Slightly
she was
different.
More so.
But Malala
part of the
is
fan base.
A public figure.
Yeah.
And stuff. Actually, I also enjoyed hearing Malala talk about how she enjoys Friends because it's just like, you know what? If this activist can like get down with Friends, then we're in good company.
Yeah. But yeah, so there was that. So there was, you know, celebrities, fans, but a lot of it was just these six actors and like listening to them talk. They did table reads and then at the, they were like reminiscing on set and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then the one portion is that they're being interviewed by James Corden in front of a live audience.
That was my least favorite part.
That was my least favorite part too. Why James Corden?
Good question. I don't know. I think he's just so affable.
I can't fucking stand him, so
oh,
I was like
really?
Not
oh.
enjoying it.
I have nothing. I have no.
Oh, he just comes off as the biggest tool bag in the world. Like I know he's a piece of shit.
You and Eddie are about to duke it out.
Oh,
Eddie.
My God. I don't know. He's absolutely adorable.
Oh, my God. I think he's a good actor. Like, when I saw The Prom, I thoroughly enjoyed him. But whenever he's playing himself, I'm like, you're a piece of shit.
I don't know. I don't think any rumors have come out about him. Can't say that about Ellen.
Yeah, which is such a shame for the gay community, but I never really liked her.
Was Ellen really, like, the biggest gay ally?
Again, that's the thing, too. I was never really a fan of her because I felt like, yeah, she was gay and she, like, used it for her own popularity. But then after that, like, she was just, you know, kissing celebrities' assholes.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a fan of.
Clearly. No, I didn't. So that was James Corden. I had no issues with James Corden. I had more of an issue with, like, kind of that portion of the show. Like, I don't know.
I don't know why it was there, especially because, like, we had, you know, Janice popped in, you know, she said hi, Gunther did, and then celebrities came and did a fashion show, and that was it, right?
Justin Bieber was in there for some reason.
Yeah, Justin fucking Bieber was there doing the holiday armadillo. And then there was, like, one moment where they cut Cara, to questions Cara from the Levine audience.
Was holiday armadillo.
Oh, yeah,
Sputnik. He was the potato, Sputnik.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that whole thing was not necessary.
The runway show?
So unnecessary.
The runway show. I didn't think it was necessary.
And also, it's just like, there were...
Another celebrity,
like,
thing. It was
two
so
of those
stupid.
Were costumes. It's just like, I don't... There were way more interesting outfits that we could pick from. Like,
yeah,
why
seriously.
Couldn't we get when Monica could... when Monica
the
was
turkey?
In... Oh, that would have been a good one, actually. I'm thinking Monica with the frizzy hair from the humidity. In when she was in Barbados, that's another good Monica look. I don't know. Yeah, that was unneeded. The talk show portion, I think, was my least favorite part about this show.
Yeah,
despite
absolutely.
The fact that I actually enjoyed the conversation. But you know what? Like, it should have been, I'm going to say it, it should have been an Oprah. Oprah should have been there interviewing them.
Okay, sure.
Or who else was popular during that time period outside of Oprah? Who would kind of would Jerry Springer, but he didn't interview celebrities. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Sally Jesse.
No, she was already, I think, off the air by the time the show reached peak popularity. Tyra.
I don't know. RuPaul would have been a good one.
Nah.
No, you
I don't think
so.
RuPaul. No. I don't know what I'm looking for here, but
I don't even know if they needed that role, though. You know,
I think on some level you needed someone to kind of facilitate a conversation.
Well, then why couldn't they just get, you know, Marta and David up there?
That's a great idea. Yes, Marta and David could have helped facilitate that conversation.
Yeah, and then it would have been more organic. And it's like, oh, this is who we came to see. Like. Mm-hmm. I just, I don't know. I was unhappy with the James Corden choice. There was a moment where they were like, let's kick it to some audience questions. And they got one audience question.
I know. That was upsetting. And then
Elliot Gould and the one who played the mother of the Gellers was there too. So it was like, oh, it's not even like, this is all fake. This is all scripted. Like, bullshit.
Well, yeah. I mean,
obviously, but at the same time, it's like you're not even going to hide it.
I wish that they had taken more audience questions and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Another moment where they took away from the fans. Make this more about the fans.
Hey, guy. I'd love to see Elliot Gould and the mom.
Okay, yeah, but then it's a lack. Like, okay, would you rather see that fashion show or would you rather more fan questions?
Oh, no, yeah, I would rather more fan questions. I actually was so livid. On some levels, just like, how the hell did these people get to be in this fucking reunion? And why the hell, like, how, what, whose dick would I have to suck to be in that fucking audience? Like, that's what I want to know, because I was so angry that people got to see this fucking reunion live. I was so mad. Yeah. I was like fuming when I saw that there was a live audience. They were just going to do it based off of the previews. That it was just going to be on a soundstage. But then when I saw there were audience, I was just like, who the fuck are these rich assholes who got to see the Friends reunion? And why wasn't I invited?
I do wonder, yeah. But the best part of it is more so the unscripted moments, you know, the quote unquote candid moments between these six actors who are reuniting, sharing their memories, and then like the actual footage. You know, there's a lot of unseen footage of them on set and just like hearing the story of them putting it together. You know, we hear from David Crane and Marta Kaufman and Kevin Bright and... Yeah, it's just like a firsthand account, like history of all of that.
Yeah, I thought that all worked.
That all worked really well.
I think the actual my favorite parts of the show, outside of the fan like segment, the next best part was when they you know, they're all getting together and they're all just like on set just talking about mm-hmm. the show and stuff, and yep. you just see the B-roll and whatnot. I think that was, you know,
yep.
it worked.
For sure. So that leads me to the part of this episode that I've been dying to talk about, which is these six actors and how they are now. you know, they will live forever in like this, you know, like in these 10 years mm-hmm. as 20 early 30 year olds, you know, so we remember them and we will always remember them as this. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how it is when, you know, with film stars sometimes and TV stars, it's hard for us to look at them age.
Right.
But at the same time, there's a difference between aging and then like realizing like, oh, something might be wrong.
That's so mean.
It's not mean. I would love to. I would hope everything's okay. Like, we're going to have to. I'm just going to come out and say it. Like, is Matthew Perry okay?
Oh, I don't think he is.
I don't think
he is.
But
Matthew Perry has also like struggled.
Like, I guess. During, I don't. Like, during, again, I don't follow these things. Oh,
okay. Well, he struggled a lot during the actual making of the series. And so hang on. Give me one second. I don't know. Okay, never mind. Okay. Yeah, he went through struggles. Like I think he was in rehab at a certain point during the actual film with the show that they had to like kind of work around in the series. And yeah, and then he just got embroiled in like another scandal like fairly recently where this like hot 19-year-old was on Raya. You know what Raya is?
No.
It's the dating app for celebrities and like influencers.
Okay.
Right. So she was on it and, you know, he was like flirting with her, but he, I don't know, like she was like, it seemed like she was baiting him and stuff. And she's just like, oh my God, this is so wrong. He's like a 50 something year old man and I'm a 19 year old, but she approached him first. So it's like, like, why did you hit him up then? Like you're it's entrapment, I feel like. And it's she's 19, technically legal, gross, sure. But like, he's not breaking any laws here. But
this is weird. Yeah. So yeah. I didn't hear it at all about that. So
oh yeah, yeah. That's fairly recent. I think in the last couple of weeks. So this is obviously before the taping of the stuff. But no, I think you're right. Matthew Perry doesn't look well. But he's not that far. It hasn't been that long since he was on TV last. Like he had like two seasons of The Odd Couple.
Yeah, which I read about. I mean, again, like I'm not a person who's like always watching TV and always on top of these things. So a lot of these people I haven't really seen recently and I don't know what they're up to.
Yeah, I know. Matt,
but I mean, Blanc, he looks like he had TV. A stroke.
He did. Yeah. He looked a little off about it or like he's in pain or something.
Yeah. Know. Or something's just like not right. Like it they also, made a statement about it. I looked it up. Right. I'm like, did Matthew Perry have a stroke? Uh-huh. And they said that was due to dental work. Which is fucking bullshit.
Oh, wait, no. Eddie, you mentioned something about teeth or something. Why did you mention that about teeth?
Yeah, it was because he looked like he got, like... Yeah, he looked like he got work done on his teeth. Okay. They were super, super bright and super white. And I've seen it. I've seen it because, you know, with my clients and stuff, when they get that kind of dental work done, when they get replacements, they have that, you know, that old man kind of, like...
Look. I mean, that was yeah. what it was. And then you take that into account with... I hate to say this, but, like, he's... His neck and chin are kind of like one now. You know what I mean?
Shit.
Well, I think what they did, and I know this probably reunion was trying to keep a level like very upbeat, very nostalgic, but there was that moment when he was talking about his own struggle, like when he's on the show, and always needing that laugh, mm-hmm. always making sure that he hit the beat to get the laughter. And when he didn't, that was something like he would beat himself up inside. And I think that comment in itself, people will be like, can overlook it. But Lisa Kudrow reacted to that. And she was like, you know, we didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And there was something very serious about that. That was like about his history and probably about, I don't know, was there mental illness or depression?
I don't know about mental, depression
during some point for him.
It was depression and addiction for him.
So I think there was that moment where she was kind of like hitting on that. Mm. Like we didn't know that because here we are here having the time of our lives being so supportive for each other. And we didn't know that you were suffering that way.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
You didn't see all that in just like her one question? Wow, Nicole.
I know, I did, yeah.
I can't believe you need to watch more reality TV, you know?
Yeah, so there definitely is something going on there. And I mean, okay, I didn't really notice. Like, I noticed he was smiling a lot, but I didn't notice, like, oh,
he paid for all those teeth. He wants to make sure he shows them off.
But again, like, does it make you slur like that? I'm not sure. I haven't had that kind of extensive dental work, so maybe. And then also, it's like, why would you schedule that right before?
You probably scheduled it because just like, well, because
he wanted the shiny teeth.
Just like, I need those shiny teeth. I wouldn't be next to Jennifer Aniston, who still looks pretty good. Pretty
well, because of that, though, like, it seemed like they never cut to him, or that they kept whatever he was saying to a minimum, right?
Oh,
it
seemed like
they edited around him.
I would agree.
So I hope he's okay.
Hopefully.
Well, and Courtney Cox, too. I feel like the two people that I didn't really get a sense of were Matthew Perry and Courtney Cox.
Oh, interesting. Actually, I think I got plenty of Courtney Cox, and I was happy because I love Courtney Cox's character.
Like, maybe she's just not like one of those people that chat a lot. Cause like I could tell like, oh, Matt LeBlanc's like an alpha male, you know?
Oh yeah. Matt LeBlanc is chatty. Yeah. David Schwimmer, when prompted, is chatty. Lisa Kudrow, also pretty chatty.
Yeah. She's also seems to be the most put together one.
Wait, what
or
do you
she's
mean?
The one who she aged naturally, right?
Yes.
She does not look like she's had a lot of work done, or at least noticeable work done. And she just, I don't know, there seems to be something more like laid back about her.
Right.
Where like, you know, obviously like Matthew Perry's had his struggles and like some of the other ones have had like, you know, extensive work done and you just look at them and you kind of like see that.
Well, actually, I know that you and I talked about this like off the podcast, but I remember I was complaining about it. It's like, who did their makeup and like who did this? Because it was not good. And it still wasn't good. Right. Like, especially when they were doing the talk show segment, they actually looked pretty They didn't look terrible, actually, during the actual reunion parts, like the ones where like they're just talking on set. They probably looked OK. It was only when they were on those on that stage when it was like the lighting and all that stuff where they looked pretty harsh. And then whoever did like the makeup just caked it on too much for them.
They did. Yeah.
And it was like noticeable. But it was actually less noticeable on the actual special than it was in the trailer. In the trailer, I think they just amped up the saturation. You know, bright colors for like streaming and stuff to get people, I guess, I don't know, hypnotized.
I guess so.
But it wasn't as distracting. It was there, but not as bad. Yeah, because I thought in the trailer, I was surprised. I was just like, oh my God, what happened to Jennifer Aniston? Like the makeup they put on her, they just caked it on. And then in the special, it's just like, okay, it's just a bad makeup job. But like when she's in the actual group setting, right? She looks pretty good. I'll say that. I think she still looks pretty good. Courtney Cox has been very candid about her plastic surgery and her regrets.
You did tell me this.
Mm-hmm. You know, so she's well aware. But yeah, I mean, and the other ones that was shocking to see was, I guess, Ross and Joey, right? Like they, you know, I think Joey still looks pretty good. I think he just looks a little more round.
Yeah, he looks bloated.
Wow. What do you say about me behind my back? I wonder.
You don't think he looked bloated?
He looked a little puffy, but I don't know,
bloated, but I think like a big guy.
Yeah, I think he just got, he's enjoying life.
I don't understand. Well, he went into a juice cleanse before this, but.
Yeah, right. So there's like, the reason why I say bloated is also because, you know, like when Elvis died, he wasn't fat as much as he was bloated. And that was because of his addictions and stuff. So, you know, like that's why I also say like Lisa Kudrow looks to be the one who seems to be the most laid back and like she's let herself like age naturally and probably never really experienced anything like an addiction, where I do wonder, you know, what Matt LeBlanc has gone through. Cause I feel like he's also, maybe it's because they're white and white people don't age very well.
Wow, Jesus. We're going to get so much backlash for that comment.
I'm sorry, but
that's
like,
going to be the title of the episode. White people don't age well.
They don't. The Golden Girls. I mean, everyone thought that those women were in their 70s. They were in their 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, look at like your mother and her age. Look at my mother and their age. Mm-hmm. Like they look fantastic for their age compared to
Let's
white
just
people.
Say.
I'm sorry.
There was a reason why Jennifer Lopez wasn't invited to this reunion.
Yeah, seriously. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
but I wonder what's going on with Matt LeBlanc as well, because I don't think it's more than just I don't think he just gained weight.
Like, I think
there's
LeBlanc,
nothing wrong with gaining weight.
I think Matt LeBlanc is not just gaining weight. I think he also, I think he has a little bit of a filler situation going on is what happened with him.
Oh.
I don't know if it's addiction, because he's still on TV right now. He has like a show on CBS. I don't know if it got canceled last season, but I remember when I used to walk in the city, like there were posters right everywhere.
Oh, well, maybe it is that. I think he looks like he might have been recovering from something that got him bloated, but whatever. Apparently, actually, Matthew Perry says, I'm so sorry. You want to continue that thought?
No, that's fine. I'm just saying, it's just like, I mean, they have more money than God, so like, I don't particularly feel bad for them.
Me neither. I was just going to say that Matthew Perry's pill addiction was so intense that he claims that he doesn't remember 3 years of being on Friends.
That's right. Yes, he has said that before. I remember hearing that. But apparently, watching this reunion, though, they don't fucking know Friends as well as I do. And that's infuriating also. It's just
yeah,
like,
I love how Lisa Coach was like, I don't watch this show. Well, you never listen to the podcast episodes.
That's true. I don't like hearing
that's
my
a lot
voice.
Of, a lot of actors also the same way too. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then it's also like you did it, it's done, move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So but
that's what she said about her sexual partners.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they also revealed some juice. There's some tea and yes. stuff. Which you want to talk about that?
All right, here's the tea, guys. So there was some off-screen romances going on with the Friends group, like we all suspected. I didn't suspect it was going to be Ross and Rachel themselves. Apparently,
yeah, I didn't think so either.
Yeah, apparently, David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston had kind of a crush on each other, and it kind of translated well, which would explain why they had such great sexual chemistry, like in the first couple of seasons.
Yeah, for sure.
They say you never.
I think they fucked.
You think so?
I think so.
I mean, you think what Matt LeBlanc was saying is like liars that he let the cat out of the bag, but he then tried to recover. Yeah. I'm kidding, but
because yeah, rumors, I think he called them out.
There were also always rumors that Jennifer Aniston and Matt LeBlanc had a thing that was part of that contributed to the divorce between Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Really?
Yeah, there were rumors of that happening. I mean, maybe I think the way that happened was that Brad Pitt did cheat on her first with Angelina Jolie. And so as, you know, vengeance, she banged Matt LeBlanc. And if there's one winner there, it was Matt LeBlanc because everyone else was a loser.
Yeah, I never heard that at all. So
no, yeah, that was a theory back then from the tabloids.
Okay.
But yeah,
so that's some juice that was revealed. And I guess like when you first hear about it, it's like, oh, juicy. But now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, it's not that juicy.
It was very PG rated. Like,
yeah, it was PG. I mean, like they did.
James Corden made it seem like it was going to be like the most scandalous question ever. And it was just like, okay. James
yeah, it was
Corden,
totally like, scripted too. Like they knew that they were going to say this.
Let's fucking tone it down here. You making it like it's like, I'm going to be very cheeky now. That's, you're right. So this is the only part where I was just like, James Corden, like take it down a notch here.
Fuck off. Yeah. Also, we got a big appearance by Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah. Lady Gaga made a guest appearance here. I actually was more surprised that Malala was there. But okay, Lady Gaga, too. She got
well, we
perform.
Already talked about Malala.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, come on. When you saw the name of all the guest stars, Malala was one of them. I'm just like, Malala? What is she doing with Friends?
Not just some, like, sleazy celebrity. She's actually
someone cool. She's a prominent figure. Oh, she's a prominent activist and stuff, you know, a women's rights figure. But yeah, Lady Gaga too also joins the fray where she performed with Phoebe, and that was, I thought, a very cute moment.
Yeah, it was cute. I mean, the moment she sings though, sometimes I'm like, oh my God. You're just rubbing it in. Like when you sing sometimes. It's just like, yes, I get it. You're a fantastic fucking singer.
What like, is she supposed to do? Tone it down?
Yeah, well that's also what's so good about Phoebe's character is that she can't play guitar and that she's not a trained singer. And then Lady Gaga just completely upshows her. And it's just like, all right, I mean, yeah, that's what you do. Again, like I said, fucking rub it in.
It was like that episode of there was like that happened twice in the show where there was like a good singer who starts singing with Phoebe.
Yeah.
And if he was
so that's so funny because when Lady Gaga went to the door, I was like, oh, my God, that's the girl that she co-wrote it with and then took Smelly Cat and sold her out.
Oh, that's E.G. Daily. Wasn't. I think she's dead.
Tommy Pickles is dead.
I think she died.
What? Yeah. I think you're wrong. I'm
Look
sorry.
That up. I'm Double check that. I unless I'm a victim of like those internet
lies.
The
Mandela effect. Or the. Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, you know, like, it's just like, this celebrity is dead. But I could have sworn I posted her picture.
She warrants that? That's funny. Okay.
I could have sworn I posted her picture, and I was just like, wow, I'm surprised. She was like such a big part of my childhood, and she's dead.
Let's see if she is dead. I'm trying to find E.G. Daily. She's not dead.
Mm. Okay, well, there you go. E.G. Daily is alive, guys. Dead. Why is she? Why does she not make a guest appearance on Friends reunion?
Seriously. Well, I think she'll be back for the new Rugrats that we probably will be covering.
Right, right. Oh, okay. Some voice actor died who did a lot of my childhood voices. I thought it was E.G. Daily, but well, who knows?
I don't know who you're talking about.
All right, well, back to Friends, the reunion, yes. Yeah. E.G. Daily did not make an appearance. Instead, it was Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga singing Smelly Cat. What's your favorite Phoebe song?
Little Black Curly Hair, I think, is a good one.
That's a good one, yeah. Yeah. My favorite is Sticky Shoes.
Oh, that's when she had like the raspy voice, right?
Yeah,
that's
a good one. I love that one.
The other song I do like from hers is when she was trying to do the Christmas song.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Please tell Joey Christmas will be snowing.
Yeah, that was a cute one. Yeah, Phoebe's the best.
Phoebe delivers on those laughs and stuff.
So, obviously, you know, Friends is a really popular show. And the reason that this happened is because Friends is almost even more popular in some way. Like, it keeps, like, it's not dying out. It's growing strong and all this stuff.
I just want to add to that because I actually mm-hmm. happened to know when I was working at Stop and Shop, and this was maybe, I guess, 5 years ago, you know, I was in my mid-20s, I guess, and I was working with like 16, 17-year-olds, right? And there was this one girl, I will never forget, she was like 16 or 17, right? What was she working? She was working self-scan. And I kid you not, she was watching Friends on her phone. And I was like, what? You're watching Friends? I had to ask her, like, why are you watching Friends? Like, you're so young, and like, the show is like at least at that point like 10 years old off the air, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And she was just like, I don't know, like, me and my friends like to watch the show, we talk about it. I was like, really? And she's just like, yeah, like, I don't, she, I think her exact words were like, yeah, I mean, like, Ross is right though, like, they were on a break. It's one of the things that we talked about.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, what I took away from that conversation was just like, okay, the new generation doesn't fucks with Rachel. They fucks with Ross. And I'm like, okay, good. Maybe the world is okay.
For the longest time, I think I still am very much on Rachel's side on that, by the way.
No, they were on a break. I mean...
Okay, so you're on a break. So, like, okay, officially, on a break, 15 minutes, you go fuck someone, like, 15 minutes later, less than 24 hours? That's fucked up.
He thought they were broken up. Like, that's the... I think that's, like, the real point of contention.
Would your feelings be hurt if after... Literally, less than 24 hours after you broke up with Eddie went and fucked someone else. Would your feelings be hurt?
They would
then
be.
She is valid, and it doesn't matter if they were in a break because you had no respect for our relationship.
Not necessarily true. Like, if you're just like blowing off steam and getting angry and stuff, you have to like take that into consideration.
Blowing off steam and getting angry by having sex.
Yeah, angry sex is the best sex.
With a stranger, I guess.
I mean, you're never going to see him again, hopefully, right? So.
Now, I agree in the sense where it would hurt even more if it was an emotional affair, or, you know, like they actually cared about this other person. And now we're just getting into the weeds of this, but I'm still Team Rachel in the sense where it's just like, seriously, like you couldn't fucking wait.
I mean, yes. For the breakup, I am Team Rachel, but like she lords it over his head for way so long. Like when they got back together, like there was no reason to write an 18-page letter. Front and back,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, no. I'm like, I think that might have been the moment when I turned to on Ross's side. I'm just like, you know what? Okay.
Well, all right, so here's the thing. I was starting to say something, and I'm gonna get back to that. No, it's fine. Like the show, you know, is picking up with people who are younger, you know, have never seen it before because of streaming, because of syndication, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you know, they wanted somehow to capitalize off of that. And they said, you know, we're never going to revive the show. We're never going to do a movie.
Liars.
And this was the best. Well, they pretty much said in this reunion, I'm sorry, guys, but they said that they don't want to do any of that stuff. Like, this is it.
What
this
they is what you're going to get. Is not what they're going to get.
Well, we'll see.
Who said that? One of the drag queens said that. What you want to do is not what you're going to do. That's, oh, come on. Asian, trans, major bitch. It was an Gia All Gunn? Stars. Yes, Gia Gunn. Gia Gunn. Absolutely. Gunn says it.
Yeah, yeah. But that was for, wasn't that about the Snatch Game?
Yeah, yes, that's what it was. It was Snatch Game, right? Like, she won. There were two queens were about to do the same character. One queen was about to do the same character as Gia Gunn, and mm-hmm. Gia Gunn was just like, well, what you want to do is it what you're going to do?
Not what you're
going to
do. Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that All-Star 6 trailer once this is over.
Oh, I haven't seen
so
it yet.
So, remind you haven't seen it? Well, then you're going to put it on your computer, and you're going to watch it, and I'm going to watch you watch it. Okay, but so, this is what we're getting, pretty much, right? And according to the cast, like, this is it. They're not going to do this in another 15 years, and they don't want to do a movie. The creators, like, we left it the way we wanted to. We want to leave it alone, which, you know, hey, if people left things alone, we wouldn't have a podcast. Mm-hmm. But as a Friends fan, right, is this something that you felt like you needed? Is this something that you think was needed? Like, how do you feel about what you got, what you just, like, literally just watched?
Did I need this? Yes, I needed this. I needed this now more than ever, especially after the pandemic, right? Like, talk about, I maybe if it had given it, they should have dropped it a little bit sooner. Right, like when we were in the deep of the pandemic, but you know, whatever, they waited on it. But you know what I really need is a fucking like actual movie or a fucking like one season episode or like a one season thing of Friends, which is why I don't care what Marta Kaufman and the other guy are saying that they're done with the story. It's just like, cause Warner Brothers is going to be like, I don't give a fuck what you guys That's think you true. Guys have done. Like, we own the intellectual property here. And if you guys don't sign off on doing this, we're just going to do it without you. And yeah. I guarantee right now, you're hearing it here on the podcast, that this is Warner Brothers testing the waters to see what's the reception of this special like. Let's see what like the audience engagement is and whether or not we're going to invest in an HBO. Maybe it's just one season. Maybe it's just a TV movie. But I promise the Friends cast will be back together for something. And that's what I truly need. I don't care how bad it's going to be. But to hold me off, this will do.
Well, so I agree with Marta Kaufman and David Crane that, you know, things should be left alone. We ended it the way we wanted to. And we don't want the potential of ruining that.
You right.
Know,
we don't want to unravel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so this wasn't needed in the sense where we did not need, like, sometimes it's always like better to leave things alone. You know, like leave them wanting more. That's always the better route, because every time you go back or you do something, there's bound to be some form of disappointment. However, because it wasn't your typical revival like Will and Grace did or anything else, it was more so just like a documentary talk show style type. I was happy that I got that instead mm-hmm. of a revival that, you know, could potentially ruin the series. But I didn't think it was needed. The aspect of it that I liked was the fly on the wall aspect. You know, it's like, oh, who are these people who have these set memories with each other? You know, they said like, nobody knows what it's like to be, you know, us other than the other five or go through what we went mm-hmm. through. You know, you see them at a party and that's it. The night's done. Like, you know, the bond that they have. It was nice watching that, even though like, that's not, like, you're not a part of that.
Right.
Agreed. You know? So it was like, that part was interesting, even though I also kind of felt, you know, kind of like excluded, because I'm like, this isn't my memories, this isn't my history. But at the same time, like, it was also like, you know, those moments with like the fashion show and all those celebrities and stuff, and I was like, oh, this is literally just Warner Brothers making something to, you know, feed off of this Friends frenzy that's going on.
Oh, Warner Brothers paid so much money to get the rights to syndicate this on HBO Max. You damn well know yeah. that they're going to milk this for all it's worth, and this was part of that milking, right?
So,
which is why I said it's just like the Friends cast are richer than God. Gunther is fucking loaded because of Friends, you know? Yeah, he doesn't have Jennifer Aniston money, but he ain't had to work a day of his life since Friends, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just from syndication alone. So, yeah, I the way I see it is just like Warner Bros. Is going to be like, it's just like, all right, guys, it's time. We're doing the Friends movie. And I you know, what's the storyline going to be? My guess is that Emma's going to get married. Now, Eddie reminded me that she can't technically marry one of the twins that Monica had.
Yeah, because that's her cousin.
But not by blood. Just saying.
Interesting.
Because they're adopted.
They'd be ripping off Will and Grace.
Oh, I was going to say they'd be ripping off Arrested Development, but yeah, sure.
And that too. There you go.
But yeah, I mean, I don't care about that. Wait, in what sense? Like, Will and Grace erased
the kids. That's
how
Will and Grace originally...
Oh, yeah.
Originally ended.
But does it matter? Because they retconned it. So technically speaking, it's just up for grabs.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. You would need an excuse. And now here's the thing. Now you're here worried about, like, is Matthew Perry okay? Is Matt LeBlanc okay? Well, guess what? I don't have time for them to drop dead. Like, this could happen at any moment by what you're saying. So it's just like Warner Brothers needs to move right now. Like,
that's literally what I was about to say. I was like, because Matthew Perry might not make it.
So they have the sets. Why? Like, I told Eddie, he's like, they're not, why would they invest all this money in these sets if they're not going to fucking film a new special? But they can't because, you know, like, technically speaking, their lives have moved on. So they're not in these apartments anymore. Unless they go the Will and Grace route. I don't want them to go the Will and Grace route. I want them to continue the story from where they left off. I don't know. For the episode, the storyline could be that maybe Ross and Rachel are finally getting married after, like, their eighth time of being on and off again.
Maybe. You know? Yeah. So, well, I mean, again, though, like, let's think about those Sex and the City movies. Let's just, like, think about it when we see it. Oh, well, you know, the first one was okay, but it's also just like, you think you want it until you get it.
Well, fans obviously wanted it because they got a second.
Yeah, but they think they want it.
But if
until they get it.
I think, but they wanted it because they got
Are you talking specifically about Sex and the City?
I'm thinking specifically of Sex and the City.
Well, yeah, well, that was also, the thing about Sex and the City, I will say, is that they did it so quickly after the show ended, like within like less than 10 years. Uh-huh. And then just because they got a sequel doesn't mean that people liked it. it just meant that people went to the theater to see it.
That's true. I mean, they didn't like the sequel. I know that much.
The sequel, yeah, is universally panned.
And Entourage also had a movie.
Except for Liza Minnelli. Oh, nobody gives a shit about Entourage anymore.
There's the people who don't like Sex and the City tend to like Entourage. Men, right? I'm just saying, like, what's it called? Like, that's how HBO packaged it, right? Like, Sex and the City was a show predominantly for women. And then they package up Entourage as a show predominantly for men.
I get it. It sucks because Entourage is a terrible show.
I don't disagree with you. I think Entourage is an awful show. I'm not a fan of it. My friends are living in a frat house with friends obsessed with Entourage. Talk about wanting to blow my brains out.
Who, Levi?
No, thank God, Levi's now. He also detested Entourage.
Nice. Okay,
he was a better person for like sitting out of those like TV watch moments. I didn't have the week. I was too weak to say no to my friends, you know?
You know? All right, so, you know, final thoughts about the Friends reunion. Should our audience watch it? Should they not? Is this worth their time? Did you watch it, right? Share your thoughts with us. This is the quickest we've ever done a turnaround on an episode.
This is
so
true.
We want some audience engagement, right? Where can our audience engage with us?
You guys, hit us up on our social media. We're on Instagram at instagram.com/remakesrootsrevivals. We are also on Facebook, facebook.com/remakesrebootsrevivals. You can email us. We love hearing from you guys, and we are getting emails from you guys. So we will do another round robin of answering emails soon. Drop us an email. The email is remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. And don't forget, guys, you can also listen to all our episodes on remakesrebootsrevivals.com. And you can, you know, visit our archive.
Yeah. If you enjoy this podcast, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform so that, you know, this can increase the chances of someone else like you finding our podcast. Mm-hmm. And if you care to leave us a voicemail, you can do so at 862-248. There we go. You could do so at 862-248-2326. 862-248-2326.
We'll come up with a theme song one day.
Yeah, we'll come up with it. Yeah.
Eventually.
All right, but, well, that's it. That's that.
Yeah, that's that. It. That is mm-hmm. that. Did you enjoy it at least?
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah. But you're not a big yeah. Friends stan. So.
It didn't like make me cry or anything.
I can't wait. Oh, I never cried, but I definitely teared up a little. I can't wait to hear from your sister. I hope she hits us up on our social medias and lets us
yes.
know.
Yes. Yes. I can't wait to hear either.
Because
I think she just finished because I did get something from her. So
tears probably.
Maybe.
When she found out that Marta Kaufman was just like, no, we're done. I'm just like, you think you're done? No, you're not done. You're not done.
I think she's one of those fans that wouldn't want to see something new.
Oh, then we'll butt heads. Okay, never mind then.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what she says.
Yeah.
But until the next time, stay original.